Parshas Emor. We'll start off with the famous Balaturim, Parshas Emor, Perichof Arav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'hu Isha B'Vesureho Yigach. The Pasuk tells us that Kohen Gadol has a mitzvah to marry an Isha who's a Besura. Balaturim says, V'hu is Eiro B'Gematria Yud Ches. The word V'hu, Vav Hei, Vav Aleph, adds up to 18. 6 and 5 and 6 and 1 is 18. A remez ben shemayna esrei l'chupa. A remez, the Chazal tell us that at 18 years old, a person should go to the chuppah. For who? 18, a remez ben shemayna esrei l'chupa.
Female.
No, a man.
Everybody.
For who? A man. Okay.
The Chassidim
is so female. Okay. Just a nice follow. This is a nice follow to him. Okay. The Pasuk tells us a little bit later on in Perik Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Tes, Pasuk tells us about a carbon toidah. And the Pasuk says, V'chisiz b'chu zevach toidah l'Hashem, u'retzaynchem tizbachu. V'shech da toidah ta' Hashem, shech da' l'retzaynchem. Shbi' l'ratzayn. So Rashi says, what does it mean l'ratzon? It means with all the halachas, you should do it l'ratzon, it should be accepted by Hashem, and you should follow all of the halachas to eat it in the proper time, it should become nicer, and so on. The hafla says over a very nice pshat, l'ratzonchem. When does a person bring a carbon taida? So we know a person brings a taida after a tzara happens. A person went through a mochum sakana, a person was sick, a person had a tzara, and he has a yeshua, he brings a carbon taida. Says the hafla, no. L'ritzaynchem. Why does a person have to wait to bring the taida till after he had a tzara? If you ask a person, what would you have preferred? To have everything go smoothly or to have the tzara be saved? A person would say, I'd rather have life run smoothly. L'ritzaynchem. Why don't you bring a taida when it's l'ritzaynchem? Before the tzara comes. Bring a taida for the everyday nisim that Hashem does. A person looks at everyday life, a person thinks, you see how Hashem watches over a person from the time he wakes up in the morning to the time he goes to sleep at night. He says, bring a taida when you want to bring it. Not that you have to undergo a tzara and only after the Yeshua do you finally wake up and say, taida, you say thank you to Hashem. But l'ritzaynchem tizbachu. Bring the taida when it's completely from your own ratzayin to thank Hashem for the everyday nisim that he does.
Even the latter is supposed to be in korban taida.
If he feels that he wants to thank Hashem, he can. The halach is there a four that a chayef to bring a taida. But anybody's allowed to bring a taida. So why wait till a person suffers and he has to be taida? Bring a l'ritzaynchem when life is going good and it's a ratzayin. That's the time to thank Hashem for the nisim that he does. The Ksav Seifer says a deeper pshat. Says the Ksav Seifer, l'ritzaynchem. After a person undergoes a tzara, and a person has a yeshua, and you ask him, was it worth it? What would have been better? Would you rather have had everything go easy without the whole problem? Or would you rather have had the problem and had the yeshua? So most times people will say, I'd rather it didn't happen. Why did I have to go through the whole suffering and all the worrying and so on? I would have rather it didn't happen in the first place. That's the wrong attitude. Whatever happens to a person has to accept. Tzara happens to a person accepts it. Whatever Hashem brings on a person, but it's not only that. When Hashem brings a tzara on a person, or sakana, it's for a person to grow from. A person grows from it. A person rises to the challenge. A person can have kaparas avainos, kaparas averis through it. Even after a person goes through a tzara, and now he's bringing a taida to thank Hashem, it should be with full ratzayin. And he shouldn't say, I'd rather it didn't happen, but now that it happened, thank you. You should rather say, ratzayinchem, I understand that for whatever it is, I had to go through it. I grew from it. I rose to the test. I had kapara savainos, my averis were forgiven. A person should see that even in the bad that happens is always good. So after the bad happens, it should still be l'ritzaynchem. You should still bring it with his consent, l'ratzayin, and a person should understand that what looks to him to be bad is not necessarily bad, but it really is good. The pasuk says later on, this I know we said this marshal over, but it's a nice marshal. The pasuk says the yomim tayvim. And we come to the yomtiv of Yom Kippur. And the pasuk tells us that we fast on Yom Kippur, and right before Shishi, the pasuk says, Shabbos Shabbos and Hulachem, Perik Chafkim, the pasuk on the days, Shabbos Shabbos and Hulachem, Ve'inisa Mesnaf Sheseichem, Besisha Lachaydash Be'erev, in the ninth of the month, in the evening, Me'erev at Erev, Tishbisu Shabbatachem. And right away, the Rashi brings down, do we fast on the ninth or on the tenth? And the Gemara says that we fast on the 10th, but whoever eats on the 9th is mara ni'alechem, as if a person fasted on the 9th and on the 10th. A person who eats on the 9th, I consider it as if he fasted on both the 9th and the 10th. Okay, and many reasons are given. Eating on the 9th is a preparation to fast on the 10th. A person eats on the 9th, he's doing it to be able to fast on the 10th, so therefore it's considered to be that he fasted on the 9th and 10th as well. The Duno Magitz is over his famous marshal. There was once a wealthy man who had a son, and the son didn't always behave the way a boy of his stature, of his position, should behave. And the boy, being that his father was a wealthy man, and everybody respected his father, was afraid of his father, felt that he could get away with doing certain things that others couldn't. And every day on the way to school, when he walked through the marketplace, he would go ahead and stop by the fruit stand and grab an apple without paying for it. He would go to the candy store, grab some candies and some nash without paying, stop by the bakery, and he would fill up his whole snack bag as he walked through the streets. And they told him to stop. You know who I am? I'm the son of some. And whatever they told him didn't help. And he used to go every day and just take whatever he felt like from the stands and the stores on the way to school. Got to a point where it was too much. So all the storekeepers got together. And they went to the wealthy man and they told him, listen, do you know what your son's doing every morning? On your son's way to school every morning, he's grabbing apples and nash and cake and candy. And it can't keep going on. It has to stop. So the father the next morning sends out somebody to spy on the son. And Taki sees it's true. Sees that his son is taking, without any cheshbon, taking from all the storekeepers and filling up his nash bag. The father knows his son very well, and he knows that if he gave him mussar, if he gave him a patch, it's not going to help. The next morning, before the son goes to school, the father says, today, you're going to have an escort on the way to school. And he brings out a band of musicians, and they have a big sign, here comes so-and-so, the son of the rich man, and they're going to give him a big parade and march him off to school. And the son is very proud, and they have a big parade, and they march him through the marketplace. Here comes so-and-so. And of course, the son this time can't take anything. He's too embarrassed because they're, after all, honoring him, showing how good he is. He can't go in and take any of the nash or fruits in the stores. And they do it one day, 2 days, 3 days. And eventually, the son grows out of the habit and stops taking from the stores. Says the Duno Magid, the same is true. It's a mitzvah to eat on the 9th. The Torah doesn't say beferish. The Torah doesn't say beferish directly, eat on the 9th. The Torah hints it to us. Fast on the 9th. So you go out, you don't really fast on the 9th, but you eat on the 9th and you fast on the 10th. The reason why the Torah wrote it this way, the Torah didn't write directly to eat on the 9th. If the Torah would have told us to eat on the 9th, there wouldn't be anybody who would come to shul in a proper mood on Yom Kippur night for Kol Nidre. We'd all be kind of mitzvah karoi. And we'd eat, okay, I'll eat, and I'm tired, and drink, and nobody would be in the mood for Yom Kippur. The Torah wanted to warn us to be careful that even though it's a mitzvah to eat on Yom Kippur, but remember who you are. Remember, the eating today is a preparation for the tainus tomorrow. So only achana for fasting tomorrow. So therefore the Torah wrote it in such a way, in a bakovetic way. Look, you know what the mitzvah is? The mitzvah is to fast. But in order to fast, you have to eat. So the Torah sort of shows us in a respectful way, it's a mitzvah to eat. Not that the mitzvah is to eat for itself. We shouldn't get carried away with the eating. But rather, the mitzvah is to fast tomorrow. So this way, when we eat on Erev Yom Kippur, we understand that the mitzvah is not so much the eating itself. The mitzvah is rather the hachana for the fasting on Yom Kippur. When you have to give somebody a little bit mussar, or teach somebody, sometimes you have to show them how choshev it is, how important it is. When you show a person how important it is, what he's doing, it accomplishes a lot more than telling him, don't do this, don't do that. So we show how important it is to eat on the 9th because of the 10th of Yom Kippur. So this way it keeps a person in a proper mode, proper mood, that he won't eat more than he should and come to Yom Kippur with the wrong attitude. So therefore, we fast. The Torah writes in such a way of fasting on the ninth. Or kachta mochem b'yom harishon. Pasuk tells us a little bit further the mitzvah of taking the esrog on Sukkos and a perichov gimel pasuk mem. Or kachta mochem b'yom harishon. Priyetada kapos tamar v'nafetz always for avei nocha. We take the esrog, the luav, the hadasim, the aravos. Usmachta mefnei Hashem alkeichem. And we rejoice before Hashem shivas yomim, 7 days. And we all know when it comes to esrogim, so different types of people buying esrogim. Torah calls an esrog a priyetz hador, and the Gemara learns out then you're taking a nice esrog. And people go overboard many times to buy a esrog mahuda, a nice esrog. And on sometimes to a point where a person becomes a balgaiva, showing off the beautiful esrog that he has, how much it is. I know he said it's over, but the lesson is very powerful. In Shari Chesed, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach lived, there was a Yid who comes into shul on the first day of Sukkos with a mahuda dik esrog. A real shein and nice esrog. And, he makes sure that the neighbors notice, and the next table notices, and the ones that he makes sure it's noticed, the esrog. And he gets all the oohs and the ahs, ah, what a beautiful esrog. Taka was a nice esrog. So somebody makes a comment, you must have paid a higher outfit. You must have paid a large amount of money for it. So he says, nah, you have to know how to buy an esrog. You mean you didn't pay a lot of money for it? Nah, you have to know how to buy an esrog. Tell me, how do you buy an esrog? He says, I wait till Erev Sukkos, late in the afternoon, and just about when it's getting very late in the day, and all the esrog sorichim about to close up shop, I then go and basically pay whatever price I want. So I go around very late in the day, and usually I'm able to find some nice esrog that's left over, and I get it for a fraction of the price. And this esrog I bought for a fraction of the price. And he was so proud of himself for this metziah that he did. Shlomo Zalman Orbach heard. And he said to him, I want to explain to you a Gemara in Beya. Gemara says, Mesech the Beya was machoikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai, the Gemara says, ate a whole week on Shabbos. On Shabbos, what does that mean? Because Beis Shammai, when he found a nice behemoth Sunday morning, he would already buy the behemoth and set it aside for the next Shabbos. If he found a nicer animal Monday morning, he bought Monday the nicer behemoth, said for Shabbos, and he ate the Sunday. He found Tuesday a nicer behemoth, he bought it. So it turns out,
alive.
No,
he didn't eat it.
He didn't eat it. He bought the animal and he saved it to shecht it for Shabbos. To eat it for Shabbos. He bought a cow on Sunday.
What, just like you said, shecht and right away to eat?
No. He bought the animal on Sunday. He saved it, then on Thursday, Friday morning, he'll shecht it, and they'll cook it, and they'll eat it for Shabbos. It turned out he ate the whole week with Kavod Shabbos, because each animal that he ate was originally bought with Kavod Shabbos.
That's what I bought.
The Gemara says, Beis Hillel, Mida Acheres Haisra. Beis Hillel had another Mida, another characteristic. What is Hillel's Mida? Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. Still took one day at a time. Sunday, he worried about today. Monday, he worried about Erev Shabbos. He would go and buy a behemoth, find an animal to have for Shabbos. From Shlomo Zalman, asked the city, said to him, tell me, why does the Gemara use the Lashon, Beis Hillel, Mida Acheres Haisel? He had another Mida. Just saying, and Beis Hillel did differently. Beis Hillel said, Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. He took one day at a time. What does it mean, Mida Acheres? He had another Mida. That was the way he lived his whole life. He had another midah. When it came to his gashmias, he lived the same way. When Beis Hillel needed, he needed clothing. He didn't worry 5 days in advance. He waited, and Baruch Hashem sent him what he needed. Hillel was a lot of way till Erev Shabbos, to prepare for Shabbos, because that's how he lived his whole life. Midah acheres hoyseloi. He lived his gashmias the same way. When he needed some gashmias, he didn't start cheshbening in advance, where is it coming from? He also waited with bitachon that Hashem would send it to him. So therefore, he's allowed away to Erev Shabbos and didn't need to prepare in advance. But a person who, when it comes to his gashmias, he doesn't wait to the last minute. He's already preparing and buying in advance and cheshbening where it's coming from. He has no right to wait for a mitzvah to the last minute. So he said to this person who bought the esrog last minute, when it comes to your gashmias, are you the same way? Need a suit. You wait till the last minute. He's a chassan. You need a suit. You need a hat. You need food. You wait till the last minute. No, when it comes to your gashmias, you're already buying in advance. If that's the case, you can't treat a mitzvah any differently. And such a person has no right to wait to do a dvar mitzvah until the very end. Only Beis Hillel, who mida acheres hoiseloi, had another mida completely in his attitude of life. The pasuk says at the very end, we have the story of the Mekalel. The one of Megadef is Mekalel. And the pasuk tells us in Perek Chof Dalid, pasuk Yud Beis, the pasuk says, he was a Mekalel. Pasuk tells us, "Vayetze ben Ishi Yisraelis, who ben Shmitzri, vayinotz b'machane, vayikoyv ben ha'isha ha'yisrael Hashem, vayikalel." He was Mekalel Hashem. They brought him to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Perek Chaftal at Pasuk Yudeis, vayanichu b'mishma. They put him in jail. Rifro shulhem api Hashem. Waiting to be explained, to be told by Hashem what his punishment is. So Rashi brings down, vayanichuhu, says they put him. What's him? Of course they put him. Who else did they put in jail? Vayonach, they put, what's vayanichuhu, they put him. Says Rashi, levadoi, him alone. V'lohimichu mekoshesh imoy. And the mekoshesh eitzim was not put together with him. Sheshneim hoyu beperik echod. The mekoshesh eitzim and the mekalel were at the same time. The Mekoshesh Eitzim did the Aveira, he gathered wood on Shabbos. Right, to show people the Chumra of Chilul Shabbos, fine. At the same time, you had the Mekalel. So they put him along, the Mekalel separately. Why? Because the Yoidim Hayu, they knew the Mekoshesh was Chayiv Misa, like it says, Mechaleleha, Mois Yumos. One was Mechalel Shabbos, it's Chayiv Misa. Avaloi Parashulhem Be'ezu Misa. They didn't know which Misa. But by the Mekalel, it says, Lifroi Shulhem, because they did not know what was Chayiv Misa or not. So since they knew the Mechal Shabbos was Chayiv Misa, the Mekalel, they're not sure whether he was Chayiv Misa or not, they didn't put them together, they put the Mekalel separately. Says the Sifsei Chachamim, a few words. Says the Sifsei Chachamim, why were they together, why not together? What's wrong? Put them both together. You have to put them separately. The Sifsei Chachamim says, V'shema lo yiyah b'misa, because maybe the Mekalel will turn and he's not Chayiv Misa, they weren't sure. The Yitzta'er Zeh, Shesovar, Hoyol V'yoshven Yachad Yimisuhu.
Wow.
And the Mekalel will have to suffer. Stress. Because he'll think the entire time he's in the same cell as the Mekoshesh, he's on death row like the Mekoshesh is. And he'll think that he's going to be killed, even though it turns out at the end that he's not being killed, he's not being put to death, but he'll have to unnecessarily suffer that stress, thinking that he's also judged Lumisa, and that's why he's put together with the Mekoshesh. Tremendous.
But that were put to death, right?
But we didn't know. At that point, we didn't know yet. We didn't know. So therefore, explains the Sifsei Chachamim, we didn't put both together, not to cause Mekalel Tzar. You speak about a Mekalel Hashem, and yet the Torah is concerned about his Tzar, and we don't put him together with the Mekoshesh. The Azkin Valley Toysis says, fascinating. How could it be that they thought he's not Chayiv Misa? They really had a Havamina that the Mekalel Hashem is not Chayiv Misa? If somebody is Mekalel of V'imoy, is Chayiv Misa, how could it be that somebody's Mekalel Hashem is not Chayiv Misa? And he asks, Shiloh Yoidin, they didn't know what is Chayiv Skila. You have a Kal V'chayim, Mekalel of V'imoy, of V'imoy Kilel, Dom of Voy, Skila. So how could it be that a Mekalel Hashem is not Chayiv Misa? The Chizkuni answers, Ein Einshim Min Hadin. We don't give an Einish with a Kal V'chayim. We don't punch with a Kal V'chayim. So therefore you can't bring a Kal V'chayim. But Daskin Balik Toysa says that the reason why they thought he wasn't Chayiv Misa, it could be that Misa was too easy of a punishment for him. Misa would not be a Kapara for him. Why do we give a person Misa?
For whom?
For one who is Mekalel, cursed Hashem's name. One who's Mekalel Hashem, perhaps Misa is not enough of a kapara.
Do what?
Misa is not enough of a way of...
Torture him?
No, let Hashem take care of it. However Hashem decides. But Bezdin, give Misa's Bezdin, maybe Misa's Bezdin is not enough of a kapara for one who's Chayiv Misa. Not that it's potter because we think he's not Chayiv Misa, k'dei shiro yiskafer bekach. He shouldn't have a kapara. Because maybe this is too small of a kapara, miso. So therefore they didn't know if the kapara should come through them and they should give miso, or should be beyond Hashem, so they had to wait to see what would happen. Even such a Rasha, Sifsei Chachamim points out, they kept separate. They didn't want to put them together with the Mekoshesh, not to stress him in case it turned out it wasn't Chayim Misa. Tremendous lesson, how to be concerned about the feelings of somebody else. I'm going back. It says early in the parasha, an introductory pasuk to all the Yomim Tovim. It says in Perichof Dalid, Perichof Gimel pasuk Beis, the pasuk tells us, Eile, Davel b'nei Yisrov amata layem, Moya de Hashem, Asher tikru oisam mikroi kodesh, Eile hei moya doi. These are my Yomim Tovim. The Magid says, Hafu de Gamoshim. The pasuk here speaks of Yom Tovim, the Moyade Hashem, Eilehem Moyadoi, the Mayom, Hashem calls Yom Tovim Moyadoi, Mayom Tovim. We all know the pasuk in Ishaya, Perik Aleph, pasuk Yidalid, where Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Chatshechem Moyadechem, Son of Nafshi. Hashem says, I hate your Chatshechem, your Shchodesh, your months, Moyadechem, Yom Tovim, Hoy Olayla Tairach, it's a bother for me, Nalei Sinasai. It's too heavy, too tiresome to carry. It's a completely different attitude. Here the pasuk calls Moyadim Elohim Moyadoi, Mayom Tovim, and in Shai you find the pasuk Chotshechem Moyadechem Son Anafshi. The Magid explains that with a beautiful marshal. He was once a wealthy man, and suddenly his children became sick. And he had no idea what the macha was, why they became sick. And the family doctor comes, he examines the children. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what medicine to give him, what refuah. I can't tell what's wrong. And he summons another doctor till he summons one of the big mumchim, and the big professor comes and he examines the children and he says to the father, I have medicine. I know what it is. It'll take time, but they have medication and they have to follow a regimen of taking the medication, a certain dosage every few hours for a certain number of days, and they have a refuah. The father says, you know what? I'm hiring you. You stay here, take care of my children, I'll pay you whatever it is, and you administer the medicine to my children. And the doctor says, fine, and he stays, he administers the medicine to the children, and after a week, two, they start to improve, and after a month or two, they're running around, everybody's healthy. And the father says to the doctor, I want you to stay and watch over them, and I'll pay you to stay and watch over them. A few months go by, everything is fine, and the children become sick all over again. Become sick again. And the father quickly says to the doctor, do your magic again. Give them the medicine. Do it again. And the doctor prepares all the medication, the proper dosage, and he brings it, and the children refuse to taste it. They know what it tastes like from last time. They know what the medicine was like. They refuse to take it. And no matter how hard the doctor tries to give them the medication, they refuse to take the medication. And as long as they don't take the medication, they don't get better. The doctor is trying so hard. Children, he can't, he's not successful. The next morning, he's walking outside, and he meets the father. And the father gives him an angry look, as if he's very angry at him. And the next day, he meets the doctor again, and nochmal, another, and gives him another angry look. The doctor says, why are you angry at me? What am I doing wrong? I prepared the medication. It's your spoiled children who don't want to take the medicine. It's not my fault. I prepared the medication. Everything is prepared. Ready for them? It's your spoiled children. Why are you angry at me? And the father says, I'm not angry at you. It's just that every time I see you, I get very frustrated. Because every time I see you, I realize that the refuah is here. My children could become better if only they wouldn't be so stubborn. So I'm not angry at you. I'm just angry and frustrated at the whole situation that my children are wasting away an opportunity that they have to become better but not taking the medicine. Because there's no magid. Hashem gave us Yom Tov. What is Yom Tov? Yom Tov is a day of rest. Instead of out to work, we're supposed to use the day of Yom Tov, Chatzio Hashem, Chatzio Hashem, to call us to Hashem, to rejuvenate ourselves, feel the Kedusha of Yom Tov, take out from the Ruchnius of the Yom Tov. So we're supposed to use the Yom Tov the proper way. But sometimes we get a little bit lazy, and we use the Yom Tov more to sleep. And the Yom Tov just our Gashmias, and we forget about the Ruchnias part of the Yom Tov. And Hashem says, if that's the case, I'm frustrated. I gave you a Yom Tov to rejuvenate yourself in the Ruchnias department, to rejuvenate your Kedusha, and you're using it and you're wasting the opportunity that you have. Says the Pasuk, Mayadei Hashem, Asher Tikru Oisam Mikroi Kodesh. As long as you call them Kodesh and use the Mayadim for Kedusha, Elohim Mayadoi, the Mayim, says Hashem, oh, that's what the Yom Tov is for. But if you use the Yom Tovim for your own needs, for your own satisfaction, and not for any ruchnius. That's the pasuk in Yeshaya. Chod sheichem u'moyadeichem. When it becomes your yomtiv, use it for yourself. It's not moyadoi. It's not my yomtiv. It becomes your. You use it for your own needs. Sara nafshi, that I hate. Not that I hate the yomtiv. I hate the fact that I gave you the opportunity to use the yomtiv, and instead of using the yomtiv the right way, you go ahead and you waste the opportunity. The truth is, the Sfarnoi came out, says this beferish. The Sfarnoi writes, and this pasuk, these are the yomtovim she'ertzabam that I want. Omnom, however, k'shiloi tikruos, when you don't call them mikroi kodesh, avoyu mikroi choil, but you use it as a weekday, the esek b'chayi shah, use it for your worldly needs, your physical needs, the ta'anugais b'ni ha'odim b'gavad, and for pleasures of people alone, and not for yomtiv, loyu mayadoi, that's not my yomtiv. But those are my adeichem, sarah nafshim, toivim that I hate. Not that I hate the yomtiv, rather I hate that I gave you the opportunity to use it the right way for kedusha to grow, and we take it and we somehow waste the opportunity. Okay, so we're holding now Sfiras Soime between Pesach and Shavuos. Sfiras Soime is the bridge, the connection between Pesach, the leaving of Mitzrayim, Shavuos, Kabbalah Satayra. Connect the two together. Sunday, Shem Sfira is Lag BaOmer already, 33rd day of the Omer. 33rd day of the Omer, we all know, has its own Kedusha, its own. So the idea is that Sfira Sam is a preparation for Kabbalah Satayra. It's a preparation for Shavuos. We count each day we're supposed to use properly. Instead of wasting away the days, use the days properly so we can be Zaycha to Kabbalah Satayra on Shavuos. Should Haka be Zaycha? We should be able to use the days of Sfira properly. We should all be Zaycha, the Simashiach who came here, remain on that.